I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Norman Geisler.
You're listening to the Think Twice TV podcast.
And this was night and day different than anything I had ever experienced.
I was humbled and even embarrassed. I really felt God knocking on the door.
You know, I was an atheist and I thought that science was the right way and anything else was just silly. It was just, you know, like fairy tale really is what I thought.
God had a plan for my life. And I believe when we lose our life is when we find the life that God wants us to have.
Hola, shalom, and jambo. Thank you so much for listening. I am your hardworking host, Dan Henderson. This episode is entitled Finder's Fee. And in short, a finder's fee is what you pay the middleman who refers new business or assets or increases revenue. The stories we feature here are ones of searching for meaning, purpose, and truth. Glenn tells us about his longing for knowledge, and that landed him in the Muslim faith, only it didn't pan out as expected. When he began to discover the reality of Jesus, peace, joy, and new life, why do so many miss out on the promise of this new life? It's simple. The finder's fee is your life. Not half of your life, not just your Sunday life, but all your heart and soul must be paid to the mediator, Jesus Christ. Our middleman wants to collect his finder's fee of our heart and soul, all for all. Also in the Heavyweights of Faith, we'll learn of Norman Geisler, the late renowned apologist and intellectual who offers us great scientific and moral reason to consider the all-in leap of faith Jesus requires. Well, I know you're busy people out there, so let's get right into it.
In the beginning, I could always tear Christians apart. They didn't know their Bible. So it's easy for me to throw a verse at them and say, what that mean? John 10:36, what that mean? It says we gods. I'm not God. Jesus just said it in red letters, you know what I mean? And they don't know what they're looking at, so they're, oh, I gotta get back to you, oh, let me ask. And I'm like, you know, how are you guys out here promoting this stuff and you don't know what you're doing?
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do.
I was born in Brooklyn in 1961. The tough part is that we weren't a well-to-do family, so we grew up on welfare, and we grew up on the old-school welfare, so there was no food stamps. Single-parented, but I was totally cultured. Always in the museums. By the time I was 7 or 8, I knew how to travel to the Brooklyn Museum and the Museum of Natural History on my own. My understanding was that God was there, my understanding that God was a creator, but I didn't have a clear grip on it, which I think is why I traveled the path that I did. It was really my quest for truth and to find out how things began. That's when the Islamic groups, they began to be interesting to me. And they started handing me pamphlets and, you know, giving me doctrine and dogma. I actually took notice of it. I would study more and more and more and more. And I wouldn't get more and more and more. I always loved music. Whenever bands played, like in Brooklyn and Prospect Park, I was that kid that would end up moving to the front of the stage and jumping on and dancing in front of the whole crowd. When I first heard hip hop, I just loved it and I was like, I wanna do that. Like whatever that is, because I was already writing poetry. I was like, whatever that is, I want to do that. And so I ended up pursuing it. And later on, through actually entering a contest, we got a record deal. Learning how to produce records ended up getting me on tour, a record company executive position. The whole time I'm making music, I've got a backpack full of like 5 books that I'm, you know, studying and stuff that I'm grabbing. And even in a lot of my music, you can hear my quest to just get to the bottom of it. I wanted the final answer. I didn't want another person to tell me, well, maybe it was this, but this book is a little tampered with, so we don't really know. I didn't want to hear any more maybes. I wanted the certainty, and I kept moving toward it. It was on a dare of a girlfriend that I ended up in the church. Of course, I say my little Muslim prayers before I walk through the church, so, you know, calling myself protected. First day there, I start crying like a baby. It was spiritual. That's the first, and it's the only time I use spiritual is in a Christian sense. I don't like when people say, oh, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. Biggest cop out in the world. Anyway, so it was spiritual. And I'm also listening to his sermons because he's really good theologically. This was one particular time in my life where I couldn't argue. This guy had as much knowledge as he had from the spiritual side. So first week, go, cry, but interested, so I grab tapes. Second week, go, cry, more interested, grab more tapes. I was a book guy, and I still am now because God gave me my mind back. But God literally had to take my mind away, work on my spirit. I got saved, then he gave me my mind back. A lot of times people ask me about my conversion from Islam, and I say real simple. Christians was the only ones that were smart enough to tell me I was born in sin. It's only a puzzle when it's fragmented. It was only after I got saved that I could look and say, wow, my whole time I was looking for a savior. I couldn't save myself. I say Jesus Christ a lot because I want people to know who I believe in and what I believe in. If you surrender to Jesus Christ, if you surrender to the Holy Spirit, you have no idea what's in store for you. I was in Hour of Power yesterday, and I started crying when I heard this lyric, and it was about the peace that passes all understanding. And it was weird because I'm going through a really tough time right now, but then I noticed that I actually do have the peace that passes all understanding. Because I can be in the weirdest position. At this point, it happens to be economic. Sometimes it's family or whatever. And people around me would look at me and say, you're not bothered. I've even been called nonchalant about my problems. And when I'm listening to that song yesterday, it just hit me as to why. It's because I've been given the peace that passes all understanding. So that's why I'm not worried. This is how I describe Jesus. When back in the day, we used to street dance, right? There's a move called a dead man. And everybody I'm sure has seen this, which is you do a dance move, you step up, he steps behind you, and you go stiff as a board and you fall back. And he catches you. And the closer he catches you to the ground, the better the move looks. And when he catches you, he just throws you back up and then you come up and do a split. That's how I look at Jesus. Jesus is the one catching you. Not only will he catch you, he'll throw you back up so you can do your split and be victorious. Matthew 16:25. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There can be no better subject matter than these 66 books. When you lose your life for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think that you find who you really are.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Heavyweights of the Faith, brief biographies of great believers who changed the world.
Norman Geisler was an American classic Christian apologist, philosopher, systematic theologian, professor, and author. He was considered to be one of the top Christian thinkers of his time. Born in Warren, Michigan in 1932, Norman, or Norm for short, Geisler, was raised in a non-denominational church by non-believing parents who struggled with alcoholism. When he converted at age 18, he was passionate about sharing his newfound faith. Thus, he began evangelism on the streets, participating in jail services and preaching at rescue missions. Almost immediately, Geisler encountered non-believers, skeptics, and recognized their need for better answers to their objections. Geisler began his academic work at Detroit Bible College and went on to earn two bachelor's degrees, two master's degrees, and a doctorate from various institutions. He then moved into a teaching career, serving as the chairman of philosophy of religion at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School from 1970 to 1979. Later, as a professor of systematic theology at the Dallas Theological Seminary from 1979 to 1988, Geisler was also a faculty at Liberty University from 1989 to 1991, and later taught at Southern Evangelical Seminary at Veritas International University. Overall, he taught theology, philosophy, and classic Christian apologetics on the undergraduate and graduate levels for more than 50 years. In this capacity, Geisler influenced apologists such as Ravi Zacharias and Frank Turek, as well as countless American pastors. Norman Geisler was also a leader in the evangelical community. He founded the Evangelical Philosophical Society, was one of the primary authors on the 1978 Chicago Statement of Biblical Inerrancy, and was involved with the subsequent Chicago Statement of Biblical Hermeneutics. He was an expert witness in the 1981 Scope II trials, where he gave an eloquent defense requiring that evolution and creation be given balanced treatment in public schools. Unfortunately, due to societal pressures at the time, the law was struck down anyway. Between 1970 and 1990, Geisler participated in dozens of public debates defending the Christian faith. In 1992, he co-founded Southern Evangelical Seminary in North Carolina. And in 2008, he co-founded Veritas International University in California. Geisler never lost his passion for sharing the gospel and the need for ordinary people to be able to defend their faith. Thus, his writing is marked by a commitment to make academic scholarly rigor of philosophy accessible to readers in all walks of life. He's an author, co-author, or editor of 120 titles. Many of Geisler's works are translated into more than a dozen languages. Those titles cover topics across philosophies, apologetics, biblical studies, social ethics, and theology. Norman Geisler summed up his apologetics in these 12 points. Number 1, truth about reality is knowable. Number 2, the opposite of truth is false. Number 3, it is true that a theistic God exists. Number 4, if God exists, then miracles are possible. Number 5, a miracle confirms a message from God. Number 6, the New Testament is historically reliable. Number 7, the New Testament says Jesus claimed to be God. Number 8, Jesus' claim to be God was miraculously confirmed. Number 9, Jesus is God. Number 10, whatever Jesus teaches is true. Number 11, Jesus taught that the Bible is the Word of God. And number 12, therefore, the Bible is the Word of God. Norman Geisler's influence paved the way for scholarly and rigorous Christian apologetics that we enjoy today. He lived out Peter's call to always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks, 1 Peter 3:15. Norman Geisler died just short of his 87th birthday on July 1st, 2019, and left behind a wife of 64 years, Barbara Jean, 6 children, 15 grandchildren, and 7 great-grandchildren at that time. While Norman Geisler is missed by many, we are thankful for the work he accomplished in the field of Christian apologetics and his many writings that are still referenced today.
Thank you to Compelling Truth for the use of their written biographies. Please visit CompellingTruth.org for more information.
In the 2009 animated Pixar movie Up, the grumpy old codger Carl had lost his zest for life. Retired, widowed, out of touch with the times, he felt there was nowhere left to go but up and away. Along the way, he sends his entire house up with thousands of balloons. He discovers what we all know is that life without purpose is painful, lonely, and drab. But when we look up and take a few people with us, now that is living. Hey, thanks again for listening. As always, I want to leave you with a Bible verse. This is from Isaiah 40:26. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing.